Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I just thank you. I thank you that we can come before you and we can worship you in spirit and truth. It is Jesus that grants us access to you, and it's only in him and through him we can come to you. So in the name of Jesus Christ, who has authority over all, who is in all and above all, would you grant us your spirit this morning? May we experience you. Not experience the clever words of a preacher, but to experience the profound depth of your spirit. So that we may be led in grace and truth, and we may walk out and say to ourselves, great is the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Bless us today. For many of us, this message is timely. For a lot of us, this message is just assuring, and it's a great way to remind us of who you are to us and how we are to live in you. So bless us, I pray. In your son's wonderful and perfect name, amen, amen, and amen. So do I do that all the time, by the way? Do I, amen, amen, and do, okay, whatever. Going to another church. What's going on? Good morning, Christ Church. Good to see you guys. How you guys feel? Yeah, I love it. I love it. Hey, can you guys turn me down a little bit? Yeah, can you guys turn me down? Thank you. I'm a little hot. Good morning, guys. We are so excited to have you. Today, we are going to be continuing in our sermon series in Colossians. But just to go over the announcements and, that we talked about earlier, this Thursday is the Deeper Questions Night, as they talked about. We will be going in the detail about deep questions that each and every one of us either struggle with or just need a good way to answer whenever they come up in our lives. So whether you're someone who is kind of wrestling with faith or wrestling with questions, or you just want to be someone who just does a great job presenting what you believe, then this is the night for you. We had a great time last time we met, and each and every time we're always going to go over just questions that everybody's, of course, you know, wrestling with or just want to know more about. And again, we're continuing in this series. I got baby Jesus with me. And we're continuing in this series. Did you put this up here? Oh, Lord, he's with me everywhere I go. But we're continuing in this series called Maturing in Christ, maturing in Jesus. What does it look like to grow up, right? What does it look like to grow up and to mature in Christ? And we've been walking through this. We got one more week. Next week, we're closing it out. Thank you guys for enduring, but I've enjoyed every moment and every second. It has built the foundation of what we believe and how to live out what you believe, right? That's the whole idea of this series. What we believe about Jesus, right? The Lord, the one who is preeminent, as Paul says, the one who is above all, creator, everlasting, eternal, who he is, but also how to live that out more and more in our lives. So today we're going to be continuing in that. Before I jump into this wonderful, wonderful passage, there's one thing that I've noticed that I'm always doing as a parent. And that's at this point, because I have two toddlers now in the home, I'm always breaking up fights between these two. Anybody grow up with siblings that you always were at war with? Yeah? Anybody still at war with those siblings today? Right? It's just different. Like, you're not laying hands on each other, but you are saying, you know, some words to each other. You know? Listen, these boys, they fight every single day. Every day it's a battle with those guys, right? This morning, after I got back from my run, I walk in and all I hear is screaming. And I try to walk the other way. My wife said, uh-uh, get over here. Nope, you handle this one. Nope, nope. Last 40 minutes you've been out, you're doing this now. So I'm like, oh, what's going on? And then next you know, my son says, he won't share the blanket. He won't share the blanket. I'm like, you guys are literally arguing about a blanket. There's other things we could be worried about, like, you know, that other people are worried, like just more drastic, you know, issues. But here we are worrying about blankets. They start punching each other. My three-year-old, he tried to bite. It's so funny watching a three-year-old try to bite someone. He goes like this. It's the cutest thing, but you know, I gotta stop before he gets suspended and everything. So I'll just blame it on his mom. But man, you know, just they're always at war. It's every day, especially if you have boys. I'm not trying to, you know, just, you know, make it about a boys. I'm sure, you know, girls and they fight and everything, but boys, the testosterone, they're always going at it. It seems like every day I'm dealing with some battle or some conflict around them, right? But, you know, when I think about this situation, a lot of us, we're very familiar with our outer conflict, right? But also, we're also very familiar with the inner conflict that we face every day. Just as much as we have outward battles, there's a lot of inner battles that we are at war with. That is constantly at us every single day. And it's the battle for peace. It's the battle for peace. If you think about this, every day, something or someone has the potential to threaten your peace. Just think about that. Something or someone, an individual, maybe they're sitting next to you, has the potential to threaten your peace. For instance, it may be bad news that you receive, right? Because bad news comes, and it comes quite often. From some of you, it might have been coming a lot more than you would like it to in this season. Bad news, unmet expectations from others, moments of pressure. You got a lot on your plate. Got a lot on your plate as a mom. Right? As a wife, as a dad, as a provider of your home. There's a lot of expectations. People are looking for you to do a lot. Right? Right? The conflict that you have with others. The constant friction that you have, right? And a lot of us, we don't realize that as much as our peace is being threatened every day, we're in this constant chase for peace itself, right? Because the body craves peace. Your soul was created for peace, right? You were a created being from a created God who is, we're going to realize in just a little bit, who is the God of peace. Therefore, you were made for peace, but sometimes it is very hard to achieve peace in your life, right? And we're always constantly chasing after it. Right? Let me try to control this situation as much as I can. Because if I get enough control, then I'll be at peace. If I just force my way and get my way and only my way, because I'm like Usher, I like it my way. Well then, right? Right? But here's what I love about Christianity. Christianity teaches us peace is not something you achieve. It's something you receive. In Christ, the Christianity teaches, peace is not something you work to. It's something you just receive, right? And what we're going to realize today, as the great Billy Graham has said profoundly for so long, Christ alone can bring peace, especially lasting peace, within our hearts. So if you're somebody today where you're constantly wrecked with worry, somebody laughed. I'll talk to you then. If you're somebody who is constantly always thinking about tomorrow, right? Overly concerned. There's one thing to be concerned, and there's another thing to be anxious, right? And a lot of us, we're not flirting with concern. We are in the realm of anxiety. What God wants for us today is to be people of peace, because he is your peace. What God wants for us today is for us to be people of peace, because he is our peace. Let's go back to this passage that we've been reading. So if you have been with us, we are continuing in this idea, this reality in Colossians chapter 3. Remember, in Colossians 1 and 2, the way you read the Bible, and you should come to our Bible study class. We help you to understand how to read the Bible. You got to understand the Bible in sections. You got to understand the Bible in categories. Colossians, if as an overview, 30,000-foot view, chapters 1 and 2 talk about the foundation of who Jesus is, right? Chapters 3 and 4 Chapter 3 we're in. Chapter 4 we'll be in next week. Logan's going to finish us out for that one. In chapter 3, Paul is now saying, in light of all that I've talked about, this is how you live it out. Which means, and what we're going to read in just a little bit, everything that I've explained to you, here's the one thing I want to be evident and to be radiant within the depths of your being is peace. Look what he says in verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. He says, in light of all that I've spoken about, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To this you were called as members of one body, and be thankful. Now, keep that verse up for him, Jay. We do a little Bible study every Sunday. Got it? We try to break down what this all means. Paul transitions. Remember last week we talked about, you know, receiving grace and extending grace, right? And now he's going to talk about how to remain in grace. And that is letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. When Paul says hearts, don't think of the organ. Although in the Greek, this is cardia. This is where we get the word, cardio, you know, cardiologist. You know, in the Greek, it's cardia, right? He's not talking about the actual organ. He's not talking about your heart. He's talking about really the control panel of your inner being. And what controls everything? The mind. He says, let the peace of Christ rule your mind. Your thought life, right? Here's Paul again, right? Earlier in chapter 3, he talked about that we are to seek the things that are above and to set our minds on things above. Here is Paul again talking about the mind. As a matter of fact, if you read the Apostle Paul throughout his letters, he talks about thinking a lot. And one of the most famous and profound passages is in everybody's favorite, Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. Everybody, you're shaking your heads. You know what I'm going. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the what? Peace of God will guard you, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The New Testament wants you to understand and firmly realize that if you don't get your mind right, you don't get life right. You gotta do a really good job doing an inventory of the thoughts, right? And some of us were like, oh, man, another sermon about the mind. Yes. We need that, right? Repetition isn't for the sake because they ran out of things to say. Paul isn't like, oh, I don't know what else to say. I guess I can bring up the mind again. No, Paul's like, oh, let me firm them in the place where they struggle the most. And that's on this reality of peace. In the Hebrew, peace is shalom. The shalom of God, the peace of God. It means to be quiet, to be still, to be content. It's a beautiful word, but often it doesn't make its way into our lives. I think the reason why for me, I have this misconception of peace or what I think peace is. See, I think peace is this. Peace is when my needs are eliminated. That's what I think. Peace is when, okay, everything is going the way that I would like it to go, right? Or maybe sometimes for a lot of us, we think that we have a hard time with peace because we always are wrestling with this rabbit hole mindset of the if-then mindset, right? If such and such would do this, then this would happen. If I just get the promotion, then the family will be set, right? If this person will just do their job, well, then everything will be healthy, right? Right. We're always projecting peace on our circumstances. We always are doing that. And I understand that and I get that. And some of us, you are like, I've heard this before. Guess what? You've heard it, but you still do it. Yes, I've heard this. I've read the Bible like 20 times all the way through, and I still need to hear it. And I still need to read it. And for some of us, we are projecting this worldview that my life has to be in order for me to have peace. But the scriptures teach us a different reality. See, I call that cheap peace. Yeah, baby, you're right, baby. That's what I'm talking about. That baby got the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Better be careful. Jesus is coming back. All right. One's staying, one's going. No. keep going, Logan. That's the Bible. I'm just saying. That's cheap peace. Here's why a lot of us our minds are so scattered and so dominated with anxiety and worry. It's because we are chasing after cheap peace. Chasing after cheap peace. But here's true peace. True peace doesn't come when all your needs are removed, but it's when you embrace your greatest need, Jesus Christ. Yeah, baby, yeah. See? Told y'all, man. That baby about to get slain in the spirit. That baby about to catch the Holy Ghost. Okay? Let me calm down. But true peace, it's as Dallas Willard says, one of my favorite, man, God bless his man. So I got a chance to meet Dallas Willard, one of my favorite theologians. He says that it's peace through desperation. It's peace through desperation. It is not, hey, I achieve peace when this happens. No, I achieve peace when I invite Christ into what is happening. It's not I achieve peace when this is taken care of. No, it is inviting Christ into the things that I am in at this moment, at this time. Right? It's as a follower of Jesus, the greatest thing you can ever do is admit your weakness. Admit your weakness. In the moments where you have no control, that's a good place to be, because you can go to the one who has complete authority. The place where you are reminded how finite you are, how small you are, that's when you can go to the one who is greater than all. Because life has a great way of reminding us of our insufficiency, but it also has a great reminder of pointing us to the one who is full of sufficiency. Life has got a great way when you look at it and you're like, this stinks, but let me go to the one who is above all, who is in all, and working through all. I love Paul's imagery, though. He says this, let the peace of Christ, peace of who? The peace of Christ, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is a really cool word. You ready? You want to get nerdy with me? Let's get nerdy. This word rule. In the Greek, it's actually culturally borrowed from athletics. I'm pretty sure the Apostle Paul was an athlete. He had to be. In 1 Corinthians, here, he always talks about, like, athletic means, which makes me excited because, you know, I love to work out, and that's probably why I love the Apostle Paul. But he's using this word that's culturally borrowed from athletics, this idea of rule. It means an arbitrator. It means an official, one who rules, right? If you think about it, in sports, what does every sport have? A referee, right? Who do you blame for every Browns loss on? The Browns. That's right. You're right, Pastor. Right? Right, it's the referees. Think about it. Every sport, it's got some type of official, whether that's basketball or football, or if you did wrestling, and if you did whatever, tennis, name it. Right, many sports, they have referees. And what's the goal of the referee? To keep order of the game, to tell the players where they need to be. And as soon as the player is out of bounds, get back in bounds. As soon as the player isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, as soon as there's a violation, here comes the flag. They stop the play. They tell the crowd what we're doing, right? First and goal, right? First and 10, all of that, right? And have you ever seen players argue with referees all the time? Doesn't that, it's called LeBron James. He always, just always, I'm sorry, went too far for all you LeBron fans out there. But, right, players are always fighting with the referee, right? And I find it so interesting. They're fighting with the guy who has control. They're fighting with the guy who can tell the players the direction of the game. So here's what the Apostle Paul says. Christ is meant to be the referee of your heart. He's the umpire. He tells you what stays and what goes. The problem is we keep fighting with this referee. Don't we? But God, I wanted to go this way. Shouldn't it be like this? Shouldn't it be like that? Right? He's like, I already made the call, bro. We're going this way. The ball's headed over here. Move. Let's go. Right? But what about this? Right? Every player, they're always arguing about a previous play. And what are we always arguing about? Something of the past. Something that has happened. Christ, he is the one who keeps order of your soul. He alone keeps order of yourself. That's what the Apostle Paul wants you and I to land at. This is the peace Christ offers us. It is knowing he's in charge of your destiny. See, the peace is knowing you don't hold your life together. Christ ultimately holds it together. It's not determined by what you lack, but it's determined and defined because of who you know. Now, I want to say this because this is very important. It's very important. The peace Christ offers us doesn't mean this. Are you ready? Everybody, eyes on me. Everybody online, if you're watching online, eyes on me. Put down your coffee, okay? Peace does not mean you're always going to be happy. Does not mean I'm always going to be happy. See, the peace of Christ, see, I think what happens is when we read a text like this, we think like, rejoice in the Lord, peace in the Christ. I'm skipping around all day long with a smile on my face. No, I can be sad, but still my heart be content. But that's only because of Christ. I can be a concerned about something. Listen, God's not telling you to just take your hands off everything and say, Jesus, take the wheel. Listen, that's the worst advice ever. Right? You better hold on to that a little bit, you know. Yeah, he is fully in control, but you got responsibility. You got to show up, right? See, this is the reality. Peace is not that I'm always going to be happy, but it's this reality that I'm always helped. That's the peace Christ offers. It's this peace that says this stinks. Did you know that as a Christian you can say that? I don't like this right now. I wish it was different. But God will not abandon me. That's peace. That's peace. I wish my kids would shut up. I'm sorry. Relax. But they're going to grow up and leave my house. No. It's at the end of the day, we live in a society that says something's wrong with you if you feel down. It's a part of the human experience, friend. It's a part of human experience. Can I tell you where I felt Christ the most? It's probably at my lowest moments. It's not always been, things been happy. It's when I've said, man, I'm not feeling great right now. And then the Holy Spirit just illuminates some form of hope and truth to me. And then because of what he's illuminated to me, peace was rooted in me. But I only received peace because I didn't try to escape this reality that I shouldn't be unhappy. Right? I shouldn't be sad. You're going to have sad days. That's how it is. We live in a broken society. We're sinners. We have sadness. These things happen. But I can still achieve peace in Christ. And then Paul says this. How does peace remain? Because let's be honest, friends. This all sounds great. I see a lot of you taking down notes. And you're like, all right, this is the week. This is the week I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, no worries. And then you wake up and you get a text message that makes you worry. Or you see someone on TV or hear someone on the radio that makes you worry. How does peace remain? How does peace stay? Paul says this in verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And he goes on, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, here's what Paul's trying to say. If you want to be a person that remains, this peace that remains, you have to have constant exposure to God's unshakable promises. You have to have God's exposure to God. You have to have your heart exposed to God's unshakable promise. Now, the word of Christ, what does this mean? The word is actually logos, right? Right? It's actually the same word that you find in John chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning was the word, logos, right? Right? And the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, right? And that same word, is found in here, the logos. This is Christ teaching. His commands, his promises, however you want to read it. See, here's the thing about when we understand the scriptures, because that's where we can find the word of Christ. See, God doesn't want you to memorize his word. He doesn't just want you to think on his word. He doesn't just want you to just read his word. He wants his word to live in you. You see the language where Paul says, richly dwell. That means something is inhabiting. Something moves in. Not too long ago, my wife and I were going back and forth about whether my mother-in-law should live with us. And you know my response, no. Right? Right? Because, you know, when things like that happen, and God bless her, she found somewhere to go. You know, I love her. I love her from afar. You know, No, we had good conversations and whatnot, but I kind of helped my wife to break down, like, hey, like, you know, if we do this, that means they have to come in, and when they come in, like, everything changes and space and you know all that stuff. It's just a lot, and right, and, you know, it's just difference when someone moves in, they're there and they're staying there, right? That's the imagery, Paul wants to bring into the Christian life, that the word isn't just something you read. It's something that is rooted, that takes place in your heart. That's what he means by this. It is something that is rooted, that takes place in your heart, because his word, it informs us to what is true. His word gives us his desires. His word informs us of his presence. His word shapes us by what he says. The other day, I took my boys to North Ridgeville Park. It's called Southside Park. We used to go there all the time when we lived in North Ridgeville, but I took them there. And on the far east side of the park, there's this huge, massive hill, full of grass, like on one side. But then there's the other side. It's just like a dirt mudslide. That's the best way I can explain to you. There's no grass. It's just all dirt. But it's this huge, huge hill, right? My boys play on the playground. Then they play in the sandbox, which makes me so mad. But anyway, they play in the sandbox, that dirty, nasty sandbox. I don't know who's been in there, what's been in there. And then they run to the hill. They run to this hill. And, of course, my kids, they choose the hard way up the hill, which is the dirt way, right? It's the dirt way. It's the way that, hey, because of the grass, you can keep your footing, right? But they want to go on the dirt, and they're always slipping when they go up this side of the hill. And here's my five-year-old coming up. He's falling on his face and trying to go up the hill. I'm sitting there watching him like, you're going to learn today. You know, he's just sitting there, and he just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing and falling and falling. And I yelled at him. I said, son, do you need some help? He says, no, Dad. Remember you told me, be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know what led him in that moment? A better word. Not the word of doubt. Not the word of insecurity. But the word of faith. I see every night I speak a word over my kids. They don't know what I'm saying. They can't understand this language. Or at least I thought. I would read over them. Yesterday, before I preached to you guys, I preached to them. They're the most important congregation, by the way. And I'll preach to them, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He maketh you lie down in green pastures. He leadeth you beside still waters. And I will speak a word over him. And in the midst of my son falling, the word kept him going. Kept him going. And that's where the word of God becomes such a blessing in our lives. In the moments where we keep falling on our stomachs, falling on our face, trying to climb the hill, trying to strive, all of that. The only thing that keeps us going is his word. What does he say? What does he say about this? How does he see this? How does he want me to understand this? See, Jesus says we are to be nurtured by his word and by his word alone. John chapter 10, Jesus says these very wonderful words. Verse 3, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen for his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead before them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Listen to this, though. But they will never follow a stranger. Why? In fact, they will flee from him because they don't recognize his voice. They don't recognize his voice. And can I tell you, friends, today, one of the reasons why peace leaves us is because we are led by the wrong voice. We are led by the wrong word. But Christ says, let his word and his word alone dwell richly within you. So a couple things before we leave. A couple things. Is that me, guys? A couple things. Guard your peace. Guard your peace. Guard your peace. Guard it. How do you guard it? Through the word. Not through self-exertion, not through self-will, not through self-help, but through his word. Guard your peace, right? Guard your peace. Number two, Paul says, choose gratitude. Did you notice the language in both verse 15 and 16? He says, be thankful with hearts full of gratitude, right? Right? Remember I told you in week one, you probably don't remember, but in week one I told you Paul brings up gratitude and thankfulness 33 times. 33 times in four chapters, he brings up the reality of a grateful spirit, right? A reality of a grateful spirit. Here's what Paul's trying to say. Paul's saying this. The one way we can also achieve peace is when our minds are reflecting on the goodness of God. Why do we need to reflect on the goodness of God? Because it reminds us God is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is trustworthy in every way because he has shown it in every way. It's reflecting on what he's done in my family, what he's done in my marriage, what he's done in the church, what he's done in the soul, how he helped me beat addiction, how he helped me beat unforgiveness, how he helped me in all these ways. And if the God who did that, in fact, will be the God who will help me through this as well, be people who are full of gratitude. Be people that are just always, this morning I was on my run and I just kept saying to God, thank you. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for this church. Thank you. Because I'm remembering his blessings. And when I remember his blessings, I can be led by his faithfulness more and more in my life. Choose gratitude. And number three, the most important one, choose humility. Remember that analogy I gave you? Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. For some of us in this season of life, and I don't know where you are, we are constantly trying to make life more convenient. We are. How can I just make things more convenient for me? How can I make things more comfortable for me? Right? I need to do this. I need to do that. You know what we need to pray? Lord, your will be done. I don't know what you're going to do. I kind of don't like what's going on. But I know this one thing. In your hands, I'm safe. I'm safe. And I'm not here to try to change you or change it. I'm not here to do any of that. And it's one of the greatest, hardest prayers, which means this week, we got to daily give up control. We got to choose to give up control, saying, today does not belong to me, God, it belongs to you. This week does not belong to me, God, it belongs to you. You have prepared every step in my life, right? The days where the sun is out and the days where the rain is coming down. Either way, the sun, rain, you're there. You're there. So, Lord, give me the spirit not to try to change the season, but give me the spirit to find peace in you, regardless of the season. Regardless of the season. I was ministering to a couple, married couple, a couple who just got married, I'm sorry. And the husband and the wife, they were going through a lot of conflict. They were going through a season of forgiving each other. And then in that season of forgiving each other, they just were having these unrealistic expectations and all of that. It was just all unhealthy and whatnot. And they couldn't embrace this was just the season that you're in. You can't rush happiness. You can't rush to perfection. You can't rush healing. You just gotta let it be where you are right now. And I remember kept reminding him, you need to not try to change the season. You need to try to endure this season. And then they said, because they realized this, the only way this season will come to pass is not when we try to change it, but when we trust God and endure it. That means you got to give up control. And here's the one thing I know you love to have is control. If control has left you, there is no you. But can I tell you that the true you is when you deny all of you? Jesus says, deny yourself. The true you is when you deny you, not my will. This is not how I would want it, but this is where God has me. And in this season, I will be faithful to trust him and him alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I honor you. I thank you. I bless you. Help us to be people of peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that guards our hearts, a peace that guards our minds, a peace of knowing that we belong to Jesus and that Christ is within us and Christ works for us and Christ is before us and Christ is with us. Give us this type of peace, Lord. Lord, the minute when temptation is knocking on the door of our peace, I pray that your word would still our hearts. I pray that for someone this week, when they're threatened with anxiety or hostility, that Lord, you would bring them your word and you would bring them to firm footing. And you would just tell them, I am your helper. I am your shield. I am your rock. Lord, I pray this week that we are led by a better word, the word of faith. That we are led by a better word that gives us true peace, not the cheap peace the world offers, but the true peace you offer. Lord Jesus, you remind us, say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Lord, I pray that we can experience that peace this week. And we will remain in that peace by remaining in your word. Help us, I pray. It's in your son's perfect name. Amen.